Bathsheba! By the power of God, I condemn you back to hell!
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to take me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my horror show. Now it's starting 3D. Oh, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. Are you reading the walls? Did you get my clues? There's a debt to repay for now. You'll do.
It's Tom! It's Vader! I mean, Horror for Dummies! Tom! Ben!
Yes, Tim, how are you going?
Good.
That was very aggressive. Do you need a lozenger or something?
I'm running out of these wrestling intros.
I've only done like three.
Four, that's my fourth one.
Okay, well now we're doing a fourth, but we've done three.
Yeah, well, I'll get to more.
I'm pretty sure there was more than that.
I'll think of more.
Okay.
Cool. Anyway, how you been?
Yeah, good, man. Good. Cruising along, back to work this week. Drag.
Sucks. At least you got a holiday, man.
That's true.
Unlike me. I've been working nonstop. Bullshit!
You're a fucking slave to the grind, you are, mate.
I am.
So much so, you've done yourself an injury, isn't that right?
Yep. I have a hernia. It's official. I have to go under the knee, under the knife. And I'm scared shitless of it. I don't do good with surgery, man. I don't like the thought of me being cut open.
Which is ironic.
I know, right? I know. I've always said to Joe, I don't want to die. I don't want to die from cancer or some boring way. I want to be chopped up by a chainsaw or killed by a shark.
Well, I mean, you're getting cut up.
Yeah. But then you hear those medical stories of like, something happened, like a wristwatch fell into some person's stomach.
The red thing's connected to my wristwatch.
Oh, I miss The Simpsons. Yeah, so I may have to take some time off. Work, that is, not the show. Like, I'm never going to stop the show.
That's right, man. I'll bring the mic to your hospital bed.
Yeah, that'd
you'll
be funny.
Fine. Fuck, we'll do a show with Tim doped up. How funny would that be?
Oh, fuck.
I'll convince you you're the dummy.
Let's do it. That'd be fun. Even if I don't get surgery, let's just go to the hospital. You need to dope me up now.
Just get one of the green whistles. It'll be forever known as the green whistle episode.
Alright, well this podcast has been brought to you by the Padded Room Podcast Network. Check them out, check us out, and our friends at Cake Wolf. You know our friend Cake Wolf, Ben?
Oh, I do know our friend Cake Wolf.
Matthew Fishgold, talking to you.
Yeah.
Check all three of us out at paddedroom.podbean.com. All right, we got a decent show, I guess.
I'd hope so. Otherwise, like, we probably just shouldn't bother.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, hey guys, like, we haven't really got anything for you this week, so that's about it. See you next week.
Yeah.
That'd suck.
It would. No, but I think we have a good show. I've got my first review for the year, first actual movie. My first movie of 2018 I saw this year, so I'm going to talk to you about that. We're going to talk about The Conjuring.
Yeah, we are.
From 2013. We'll get into that. And we're going to talk about some music.
I do like music.
But before we get to any of that, Benjamin!
Timothy!
Let's kick it off with Listener Mail.
Let's.
Listener Mail.
Benjamin, would you do me the honours
of introducing our third co-host?
That's right.
The one, the only, Alan Cha-Cha!
Talk about a wrestling intro.
Yeah, I know. How good was that, eh?
Now do it properly.
Alan! Alan! Alan Chacha!
Alan calls in, so thank Christ he's not dead.
Yes, that's right. That's good.
Going back to last week's episode, he goes, half a gallon would be a little over 1.5 litres.
That's so what I thought, eh?
Yeah, so you were right.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it was a lot of bourbon.
You're fuck not that wrong. Heaps, bro. That's so much.
He also goes, and what scene from a horror movie or any movie got to you the most? For me, it would have to be the rape in the remake of I Spit in Your Grave. It made my stomach hurt. Not like I was going to throw up. It throw up just hurt. So on top of your head, anything to answer that?
I would actually probably have to say, even though I haven't seen it, it's the reason I don't want to watch it, would be that disgusting fucking scene from the Serbian film. Fuck that. Fuck that right off.
The difference between me and you is...
I have a conscience.
No. I have seen that scene.
Yes,
and that's exactly the first thing that came to my mind when Alan asked this question. I can deal with basically anything in a horror movie except kid stuff.
Yeah, that's just fucking nah.
Yeah, and I've never had to turn off a movie in my life until I saw a Serbian film. I have recently rewatched the movie in a whole, but it's not one I would like to put on every day.
No, not so much.
It still kind of gets to me, and I don't know what the fuck that guy was thinking when he was making that movie. That's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There are bad movies out there. Like, people would say, like, Martyrs is a shocking movie, but for me, nothing beats a Serbian film. I don't think you can get worse than newborn rape.
Yeah, that's just fucked up.
That's horrible. Especially when I have a 3-month... Ah, oh, fucking hell, I can't even talk about it.
Nah.
So that's my answer to you, Alan. Fuck a Serbian film. We may cover it one day. The look on your face is priceless. You can watch it with Amy.
I will not be present for that episode.
He continues. So another drinking story. The legend of pantless Batman.
Just the title is a legend. That's sick.
A few years ago, some friends and I got a hotel room and some booze. My friends decided to go to a local haunted house to meet some D-list horror actor. I decided to stay at the room and drink. I was mixing Fireball and Devil's Cut. Well,
that's going to do it.
Yeah, there's your first problem.
The fiery devil.
They came back later to find me chilling in the bathtub with the TV turned all up all the way with the Andy Griffith Show on. They wanted to go to Walmart. I said I'd only go if they bought me a Batman action figure. They did not have action figures, but they had Batman masks. So I got a mask instead. Got back to the room, and I decided to put the mask and wander the hotel looking for the crime computer. I thought I had on pants, but I didn't. I was wearing a biker jacket, combat boots, boxers, and a Batman mask wandering around the hotel. Ended up on the elevator with hotel security, who were looking for the disturbance. I wasn't the disturbance they were looking for, although I was told to go back to the Batcave.
That's sick.
Love and sandwiches, Alan Chacha. Thanks, Alan.
Please send us more of those. Those are amazing. Yeah.
All right. Our next one is from our good friend Paley from the Consumerist Podcast, which you guys should go check out on the Trainwreck Network if you search that on iTunes. He writes, now you would remember Paley as having his own little segment on this show called Paley's Musical Minute. He writes, yo Tim, I was too lazy to record a thing, so I figured you could just read this instead. That's just not going to cut it, Paley.
It's not Paley now. Now it's just Tim.
What?
Huh? Well, if you're reading, it can't be like Paley's Music Minute or anything if you're just reading it anyway.
I'm following you.
Now it's just you.
It is.
So what do you have to say, Tim?
Well, I don't want to read this. No offense, Paley. I just don't like the band that you chose us to play. My song recommendation for something related to The Conjuring is The Conjuring by Megadeth.
Yes!
How do I come up with this stuff? Hey, I'm so fucking clever. Anyway, I figured this would be up your guys' alley too, with What with the metal and all that.
Yes.
Also, Metallica over Megadeth. Yes, you're right there.
Well done, Paley. Nice cover at the end there. Just making sure you know where we stand. Or we know where you stand, as it were.
TTFN. What the fuck does TTFN stand
for? Off an hour.
Oh. I'm old, man. I don't do this shit. Paley, P.S. Tell Ben I'm going to give him a big cuddle next week.
Fuck yeah, Paley. I'm so excited. I want my cuddle.
What's next week?
I don't know, but I want a cuddle. How cool would it be if he just drives to my door and cuddles me?
Paley, I'm not going to play Megadeth. You know why?
What?
Because I fucking hate Megadeth. What? I cannot stand
Don't
Megadeth.
Don't worry, fucking Paley. I'm going to play Megadeth.
Do you like Megadeth?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
How can you
now
get
I'm going to
past...
play him even more just to piss you off.
No.
Yeah.
I cannot stand Dave Mustaine's voice.
Why? What's wrong with it?
What's right with it?
That's not very
it's
nice.
It's horrible.
You're a bully.
You take a model man. Yeah. And put him in control. He can't see. He can't even talk properly. The fucking retard. I cannot stand that redheaded fuck.
Hey, you leave that curly redheaded god out of this.
Bring your hate mail over to horrorfordummies@hotmail.com. Alright, this one comes from Dean Stevens. He writes, he's from the Horror Room, which is the Facebook page that we like.
Sweet.
He writes, was at work, think two podcasts ago, and was quiet as fuck in the industrial area. You guys are echoing through all the workshops, and my boss pulls up, stereo cranked. First thing he hears is, I'll suck a cock. Don't think he thought it was appropriate.
When is that not appropriate, though?
Exactly. I was speaking to Dean about this, and he wanted me... Oh, no, actually, I told him that I'd give his boss a shout-out. Now, his boss's name is Alex. So, Alex, you better give Dean a pay rise, or I'll come and I'll suck your cock harder than you've ever been sucked before in your life.
It's true. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
One time it started with a foreskin, then it was gone when he was done.
So, Alex, pay rise, or I'm coming over. I think he's in Perth, so I'm coming over to Perth. Even though it's like ages away from Sydney. I'm still coming over, and I'll make you come too. Alright, our next one comes in from... I'm trying to find it now. Where are you fucking... Where are you, fuck? From Cakewolf himself. Cakewolf must have been drunk the other night because he sent me about 12 or 13 videos of the most fucked up shit I've ever seen.
He's trying his own recipes, mate. He's making sure they're still good.
He probably I love Cakewolf. Alright. You ready for another fucked up...
Oh, fuck. Alright, here we go. I'm ready.
Alright. A little late, been a busy week, but here's how I celebrate New Year's. New Year's in our humble village is a wonderful experience. Once Christmas Day is over, all the men begin preparing for the hunt of New Year's. The training is tense and rigorous, leaving most of us without any fortitude for the hunt itself. Fucking hell. However, a few of the strongest among us, with the will for survival, the blessing of the gods, and an insatiable lust, are still able to stand and get an erection. Erections are key for the hunt. For as New Year's Day arrives, the women of our village undergo a metamorphosis, blessing our people. The powers of Tim and not Tim shadow the skies with their mighty ball sacks, bloating out the light of the heavens and raining down upon us a constant stream of their hearty cum. When the darkness is full, the change of our women is complete. Becoming blessed forms of Tim and not Tim, our women mirror their godlike forms in all ways, except their genitals. Instead, their vaginas open up to gargantuan depths, to which they reach within and pull out hideous otherworldly organs that they use to fuck the men to death with.
Holy fuck!
The weaker men who can no longer stand die slow and painful, pleasurable deaths at the hands of our women, who cackle with glee as these men's eyes go still and their limp, lifeless bodies flop to each and every violent thrust. Oh, fucking hell, Cakewolf, what's wrong with you?
Whoa!
However,
this is fucking intense. Literally.
However, the strongest men among us thrive, running around naked, dodging the women's attacks, and violently masturbating to the chaos around them. These men became the chosen few to carry our legacy for yet another joyous New Year's celebration. When the day is over and the seed of Tim and not Tim's mighty Skyborn ball sacks are emptied... Their balls drop upon us all. Returning our woman to their true forms and blessing us all with their delicious feast of their genital crabs. He then goes on to say, My girlfriend says I have an unhealthy mind. I have to agree with her.
Fuck. Cake Wolf has got the most intense holiday period I've ever heard of. That's fucking nuts.
Oh, Cake Wolf, I love you. But you might need to go see a doctor or something.
Or stop dropping acid.
Yeah.
I'm lying, never stop.
All right, well, thank you to everyone who sent us their mail, including you, Cake Wolf. If you want to contact us, check us out at the Horror for Dummies Facebook page or horrorfordummies@hotmail.com. You can send us anything, literally anything. Just listen to what Cake Wolf just said. All right. Now on to Ben's question of the week.
Ben's question of the week.
Well, well, well. Here we are for the question of the week again, Tim.
Yep.
It's like it's been a week already.
Yep.
Okay, good. Thanks for that constructive conversation. That's good.
Yep.
Glad this is my segment. So, guys, I asked last week, what was your favourite decade for horror and why? Now, we've got a fair few answers here. So, we're going to get straight into it. So, we've got Abraham Ram said, for horror, I'd say 2007 to 2017.
Which is a bit of a shock.
He's kind of going like between now, isn't he? He didn't just say 70s, 80s, whatever. It's 2007 to 2017.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a decade. It's just very, very specific.
Yeah.
Good form. I'm sure he has reasons. Our good friend Alan said, the 70s. So much nasty, grimy stuff came out then. There was a certain bleakness and grit to those films.
Yeah, that'd be my second choice.
Yeah, nice. Geordie Van Vuklis said, would be the 80s.
Hell yeah.
Brendan M. Maynell said, would be the 80s by far.
Yep.
Ryan Sorkness said, the 80s. So many iconic gems, whether it's horror or not.
Yep.
Fuck. Matthew Fishgold, gotta go 80s. Yep. So much ridiculousness.
Yep.
And Lars Christian Detelson, I think that's how you say that. If not, Lars, sorry, bro. Also said, the 1980s. Fuck, 80s dominating.
Yeah.
Everyone's into the 80s.
Yeah, I told you.
I know.
Did you happen to see any 90s in there, Benjamin?
I didn't, Tim. I didn't.
There's a reason for that.
That's because, mate, when something this good comes out of the 90s, nothing else compares.
Now, I don't mean to insult you in any way, but it's true. The films... Yeah, true. The films from the 90s, like, there's only really a handful of good films from the 90s. I don't know why... For some reason, the 90s seemed to just take a step back. Like, just their tone and the... I don't know. It's just the way the films are. They just looked really, really old.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. It's not as good production value and all that.
Yeah. I don't know if it was because they were experiencing new things with the new CGI and stuff like that, but
Just doesn't hold up.
No.
Yeah.
No, I just... Yeah.
No, that's fair enough.
And you can tell a 90s film from a mile away.
Is it because it's where it says it was made, it has like
very
a 90 in it?
Very funny.
Okay, cool. Just making sure. Well, what's your favourite decade?
The 80s.
The 80s as well. Fuck.
Told you 80s last week.
Dominating. You did. Fuck. Why the 80s?
Because I don't know.
What's your favourite little gem from the 80s?
Probably The Lost Boys. Or American Werewolf in London, or Predator, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. There's too many to choose from. that's exactly why. There's so many good horror movies that come out from the 1980s. Not just that, like the bands that came from the 80s, Metallica, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, etc.
Oh yeah, for music, 100%. 80s ripped shit.
That's why we're going. Basically, we're going back to the 80s.
Yeah, like, everything's going full circle.
You look at Stranger Things. You look at It. Like Stephen King.
Yeah.
Everything's coming back to the 80s, and because it was such a... I don't know why.
Woohoo! I missed it the first time. I get to see it this time.
Yeah, well, I was only, like, one. So maybe because everyone was
you
on.
You were at least 20.
Fine. I fucking wish it. I really wish I had. Oh, maybe just because everyone was on cocaine. Maybe that's why it was the fun decade.
Fuck, well, let's all just get blasted and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you watch Hot Tub Time Machine. True. That just shows you how much fun the 80s was.
True, true, true.
Anyway, what's your question for next week?
Alrighty, guys. So, for next week, I want to know, what is your favourite opening to a horror movie ever?
Oh.
Opening scene. What gets it right in there?
I'll give you a hint. Here's mine. The starting of Scream.
Yeah.
Now, the reason being is because you have a... I don't know at the time if she was, but... is she now? Would you call Drew Barrymore an A-list actor? Well, she's a well-known actor.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have her, and she dies in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
And it's such... It just pulls you into the movie. That, for me, is like one of the best opening scenes to a horror movie.
Yeah.
So...
Nice.
Let us know what you think as well.
That's right. Let us know. Yep. As always, we're recording this midweek, so get your answer into... This show will come out on...
It might come earlier. Mr. Darian Brock may be putting this out earlier. We might be having a change of when the show comes out.
Okay, well, there you go, guys. Thanks to the Big D, we may be coming early.
Yeah.
So, in that case, if this comes out either... Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, get your answer into us by Tuesday so we can read them out on the show, have a little giggle, and we can all just have a general good time.
Yeah.
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 On that note, Ben.
Tim.
Are you ready to conjure up a discussion?
I sure am.
Feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
All right, The Conjuring from 2013. This comes in at a 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb. The synopsis is paranormal investigators...
You're not DB, you are Tim.
Oh, fucking hell. Paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren work to help a family terrorized by a dark presence in their farmhouse. And shit goes nuts. So the cast is... Vera Farmiga as Lorraine Warren, Patrick Wilson as Ed Warren, Lily Taylor as Carolyn Perrin, and Ron Livingston as Roger Perrin. And there's a whole bunch of other people, but I didn't write it down. It's directed by James Wan, who... Do you know who James Wan is?
No.
Oh, he's an Australian director. He created a little movie called Saw.
Oh, really?
He created a little movie called Dead Silence. He created another little movie called Insidious.
He's got a thing for little movies, eh?
Yeah. And he's also directing a probably a shit movie. And this isn't just me saying it, but it's a big movie. Aquaman.
Okay. Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know. That's how he says it in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I am Aquaman. fuck Star Wars. I mean, not Star
fuck
Wars.
Star Wars. Superhero. That was Superhero. Unnecessary. Fuck you.
Now, James Wan, yeah, Australian director, born in Melbourne. Yeah, shut up.
Didn't say anything, mate.
All right, my first question to you, and you need to help me answer this because I do not know.
Okay.
Vera Farmiga, who played Lorraine.
Yes.
Hot or not?
I was actually really confused by this as well, eh? To start with, I was like, yeah, hot. And then a couple of scenes, I was like, nah, not. I think I'm going to land on hot.
Yeah, but it's funny because in some scenes she looks old.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the hair color or something like that, but...
This may come as a shock to you, but old chicks can be hot as well.
Yeah, I know that, but like grandma old. Or maybe it's because I know what the real Lorraine Warren looks like.
That's true. She did resemble a foot.
Wow.
It was a very obvious reason why she could do what she did and never get possessed. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Alright, so Benjamin, this is based on a true story. Did you know that? You probably did.
I did, because it says at the start of the movie, based on a true story.
Yes. So do you know...
And contrary to what you may think, I can read.
Fucking funny. So, let me just give you a little background about the Warrens. So,
okay.
Lorraine Rita Moran... was born in January 31st of 1927. She, at the moment, is the age of 90.
Oh, shit.
She's still alive. She's still kicking. Yeah. Active. She's doing well.
It's because she's a demon.
Yeah. Edward Warren Minnie was born September 7th, 1926. Passed away in 2006 at the age of 79. Now, the American paranormal investigators, Ed was a World War II US Navy veteran and former cop who began a self-taught and self-possessed demonologist, author, and lecturer. Lorraine, on the other hand, professes to be a clairvoyant and a light trance medium. In 1952, they founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, which is the oldest ghost hunting group in New England.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. New England's in America, by the way, not England.
I figured. Otherwise, it'd just be called England, not New England.
Just making sure you know you are dumb, so...
Okay, fair enough. What's England?
Ask your missus. They authored numerous books about the paranormal and their private investigations, including the famous Amityville Horror. Benjamin, did you know what their famous cases included?
I do not.
Not even one? You can't even answer one?
The Annabelle doll?
Yeah, okay, that's what I was looking for. So, apart from the Annabelle doll, they've also done The Perrin Family, which is this movie. The Amityville Horror.
Yep.
Which you would have heard of.
Yes, of course.
The Enfield Poltergeist, which is what part two is about.
Okay, cool.
The Snedeker House, which is the haunting in Connecticut.
Okay, cool.
And a werewolf story, which isn't exactly a werewolf, it's a demon thing that resembles likeness of werewolves. I didn't really get much into it because it seemed a bit weird, but yeah.
A werewolf?
Yeah, they have a book about it. Anyway, these stories have appeared in numerous films and TV series. They have claimed to have investigated over 10,000 cases.
Shit.
After Ed died, Lorraine retired from appearances and left it all to her son-in-law, who is still going to this day. Lorraine's still kicking, but she just doesn't do lectures or anything like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's basically the true story, the real Warrens, how they are. Now, the true story to this movie, it's based on a true story, so of course... 95% of this, what happened in the movie, didn't happen in real life.
Artistic license.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Benjamin, this is your... Okay, on the top of your head, have you seen any ghost films? Haunting films? That you can remember?
So, I've seen The Exorcist.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about, like... are you talking, like, possession specifically? Or just ghosts? I've seen that. I've seen 13 Ghosts.
Okay.
I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. I mean, I probably have seen more.
I know you've seen Paranormal Activity.
Oh, yeah, of course, Paranormal Activity. Didn't even think of that.
You haven't seen the one, though, haven't you? Haven't seen two or three or...
Yeah, no, I've seen 20. One and two. I didn't see three and four because I found... like, I liked one when it came out because it was new, it was different.
Yeah.
And I found that two pretty much fit the exact same mold as one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all quiet, music starts building, and, you know, as soon as the music builds, something's about to go bang.
Yeah, that's called a jump scare.
I know it's called a jump scare, but it's good in small doses and used sporadically, not used for every single scare in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Because then as soon as you hear music start, you're just like, alright, it's going to get loud.
Yeah, that's a horror movie cliche.
Yeah, so I stopped watching them because they just, you know, if I wanted to see Paranormal Activity 3, I'll just watch number 1 again.
Yeah, well, the rest of them, the other three are pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not missing out on much. All right, well, the time has come, so I want to know... I'm shocked that you haven't seen this one. Like, this is one of the biggest names in ghost films.
I know, man. Like, when it came out, everyone was raving about it.
And yeah.
I was keen, but it's one of those things, like, Amy hates scary movies like that. Like, all the movies we've watched so far, she's watched, because if it's a slasher or something like that, she's okay with dealing with that. But something like this, like, I put this on, she went and sat upstairs.
Really?
Yeah.
She just can't do it.
No. That's she was worried about watching it anyway. She was going to give it a go. And then when the opening shot is a slow zoom out from Annabelle's face, she was just like, nah, fuck this. I went upstairs.
That's so funny.
So that's right. Why I don't get to go see like these kind of movies much.
Yeah.
Which sucks because these are the good ones. These are the ones that actually give you the fucking heebies.
Well, okay. That's a nice little segue. On this note, did it scare you?
It started wigging me out on the first half.
Yeah.
The second half, no.
Okay.
I always find things scarier. Fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like the first part of this movie when it's spirits that only one person can see or only two people can see, and you can't see it, and shit starts happening, and
yeah.
That I find creepy. Or, you know, when you, the casual, you know, look and see it in a reflection, but then you second glance, it's gone. That kind of stuff wigs me out.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it's actually got shape or you can see it and know what it is, I find it way less scary.
Okay. So you didn't like the Exorcist type, like the right at the end part where she's, where you see the witch and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all that. Like, it was still cool.
Yeah.
But I found that cool, but I didn't find it scary.
Okay.
I found the first part scary when shit started going.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear it. A movie as a whole, did you enjoy it?
I did. I definitely enjoyed this movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it, man. I liked the format of it. Yeah. The way it sort of started introducing who the Warrens were and what they do.
Yeah.
And then the family and moving into the house. And I kind of liked the way that, to keep you in the loop and keep the story going, it had cut to the Warrens doing a lecture. And mm-hmm. it sort of explained basically what was going on with the family in them giving a lecture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when he starts giving the rules of, you know, the possession, the three steps towards possession and stuff like that. And that's then what's going on in the house.
Yeah.
I liked that, yeah, it sort of kept the story going quite easily and simply.
Yeah.
You know, that was good. I liked the fact that the characters, it sort of focused on what was supposed to be scary. It didn't waste time fucking building backstories for characters and shit like that. Like, they, I know, especially because it's based off a true story anyway, but they are who they are. Mum and dad are a scared mum and dad trying to look after their kids. Kids are just scared young kids.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I like that. And then, yeah, just the way they do the movie was wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The writing in this movie is brilliant because nothing is really wasted. Like, for example, you had the scene where Lorraine's talking to the mum, I can't remember her name, about the picture when her family is in the beach.
Yeah.
That part could have been easily forgotten, but it comes back into exactly. the fold, like, big time. And there's nothing really that's wasted. There's no scene there that's really wasted. And another thing that I like about this movie, which is different from a lot of other ghost house movies, like haunted house movies, is that this actually shows, like, you've got the family that's been haunted and all that stuff, you have to have that, but this shows the Warrens and how it's taken a toll on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you, like Ed Warren said, how it takes a piece of Lorraine each time, but not just that, like how it comes for their daughter as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I really enjoy.
Yeah, I always think that with movies like that, like, if you were in that kind of job, surely you'd be putting the rest of your family at risk as well. Yeah. You can't go fucking pissing off the whole spirit world and not expect something to backlash.
Yeah. And this continues in part two as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about, I want to talk about the characters.
Yep.
Because, okay, tell me if you agree. To me, you know Patrick Wilson. Have you seen him in other things? Who played Ed Warren?
Yeah, his face was familiar. I couldn't quite place him.
He's in a lot of, he's in a few things. He's in Insidious.
Okay.
He's in Hard Candy. Their horror movies you wouldn't have seen there.
Yeah, okay.
But he's one of those characters, one of those actors that you just would have seen.
Yeah, definitely. Something.
But him and Vera Farmiga, who both play Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yep.
Tell me if you agree. I think that those two actors were born to play these parts.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't fault them at all.
Yeah, I love them in this.
Yeah.
And in part two, like, it gets more into the characters of the Warrens.
Okay, cool.
And it's one of the reasons why I love the Conjuring films. It's because of the Warrens. And a lot of people hate that.
Really?
Because they hate the real story of the Warrens. Because it's a bit different from what, like, in the movie, you see them as a loving family who will go to end for her family in need.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently they weren't like that in real life.
Oh, really?
This is what I've heard. I don't know the actual truth, but apparently they were a bit more self-centered than the movie makes them out to be.
Oh, really? Like, what, charging for it?
No, well, they never charged. But if they had to travel, they would ask for accommodation and all that stuff, which is fair enough, but apparently, yeah. Like, this is what I've heard. I don't know how true it is, but apparently, like, in the scene where Ed's fixing the guy's car,
yeah.
Apparently, the real Ed would never have done that.
Oh, okay, right.
So, stuff like that.
Yeah. So, they're there for the spirits. Everything else is your problem.
Exactly. And there have been cases where they've just walked off.
Oh, really?
Without even helping.
Fuck that.
Once again,
that'd suck.
Yeah, once again, I don't know how true it is. Apparently, it happened in this movie, like the Perrin case. This story. Okay. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've read.
Okay, fair enough.
So a lot of people don't like the characters of Ed and Lorraine Warren. But to me, I'm going off what the movie shows them, and I just love these characters. I think they're great.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were really, really good. And yeah, they played them, like, perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got the family, the Perrin family. See, all around the acting, I found really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone sold their role really well.
Yeah.
As I said, you know, the characters themselves didn't... Some of the characters didn't have a lot of depth to them. But that being said, you still believe they were what they were. They, you know, the kids look like genuinely terrified young kids.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There was a few scenes from Lily Taylor who plays...
April?
No. The mum, Carolyn Perrin.
Okay.
Just a few lines she came up with. It was just like, okay... You seem to be overdoing it a bit. That's more of a nitpick for me. Nothing like when the husband's down there fixing up the furnace and stuff like that. Yep. And she's like, "Yeah, it's cold in here." And she's like, "That's like, all right, you're too happy."
Yeah, exactly.
That's just me. I'm not used to happy families. yeah. So you all around you agree with me? The acting's great.
Yeah, man. Like 100%.
All right. Another thing that I found pretty much perfect was the cinematography.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah?
I agree. The cinematography was really, really good. Yeah, you know, they do love a slow sort of... either a slow pan or a slow zoom in this movie. I noticed they do use that a lot.
Yeah.
But that being said, I can't fault it because they use it a lot, but they use it well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's it.
And a lot of the shots, I really liked the foreground, background textures. You know? Like, after the dog dies... For like 2 seconds, they have that scene from outside looking in, sort of when it's getting to evening, and it's got the dog's cross where they buried it in the foreground, but then the house in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, simple shot, but it already shows that people are dying from, death from being there.
There's like a scene at the start, which is like one continuous take of the camera. The
flowing shot through the house as they're moving in.
Following the girls around.
That's wicked.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I thought that was sick.
Which would have been real, because that looked like one continuous take.
It was.
So that like would have
been. Or it would have had to be, near as I can tell. So
that would have been everyone really would have had to be on point. Exactly. That would have been really hard to do, but they pulled off perfectly.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That and the really weird camera angle they use, it's near the end of the film. When they're down in the basement, and I think it's the mum had to run upstairs. Or is it near the end? I don't know. I can't remember. But someone had to run upstairs to get something.
Yeah.
And the camera starts, like, upside down.
Yeah.
And then sort of flips up as they run past.
Yep.
And then when they're running back, it does the same thing. It follows them and then flips back upside down when you see them go back down to the basement.
Yeah.
Like, that's unusual, but it's cool.
Yeah, it looks
really cool.
It looks great, yeah. Now the sound is another thing I want to talk about, because there's a scene in this movie where basically the screen is black for about 20 seconds and all you're relying on is just the sound.
Yep.
And do you remember that scene?
I'm trying to. What scene?
It happens in the basement.
Yeah.
When the lights go out. But it's all it is blackness, and all you hear is her running up the stairs and...
Oh, with the matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely. Right,
sorry. Which works really well.
Amazing. And that scene, that was definitely one of my favourite scenes in the whole movie.
Mm.
Yeah, it was same. Because it already sort of had you on edge, like, what was going on, and then shit was starting to happen, and you were like, oh, crap. And then when she keeps lighting the matches, and you hear the voice just say the, "Wanna play hide and clap?" And the hands came out over her shoulder, just out of the darkness, and clapped. I was just like, oh, shit, fuck that!
Did that freak you out? That's
fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
That's a massive wig out.
It is. Even the score, like, the first part, like, as soon as you press play on this movie, it starts with that low rumbling score.
Yeah.
Which I love. They continue that in part two, which I love that score.
I actually found... The score, I agree, the score I thought was really, really well done. But I also thought that what they used really well, I suppose you could still count it as part of the score, is silence.
Yeah.
They didn't overdo it. Not every single scene has music playing behind it to try and scare you, or to try and do it. Adds realism to me when it's, you know, she's walking through the house and it's dead silent and you hear a door creak in the background, but there's the continuous ticking of a clock.
Yeah.
You know, because if you've got a clicking ticking clock, you're always going to hear that, aren't you?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
It adds realism. Yeah. I thought that was done really well.
Yeah.
The way that silence was actually used to make things way creepier.
Yeah.
But then when shit was going down, they had the awesome, you know, strings and the rumble and stuff to fucking really amp it up.
Yeah.
So I thought that was done really well.
Yeah.
Plus a few throwback with some 70s songs in there just to remind you what era it was.
Yeah, that's right. And they really did, like, this 70s feel right, like with the clothes and everything like that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It made you go back to that time period. Yeah. We weren't from that time period.
I must admit, though, speaking of, like, the whole era setting, they did do well with the clothes and the few 70s tracks and stuff like that, but I feel like the only thing they overdid to try and sell that is at the end when the Asian-y dude is talking to the daughter about something and he goes, yeah, it's pretty far out, eh? She goes, yeah, it's groovy.
Yeah.
I'm like, you did not need to say that. That was just shit. Why would you put those lines in there?
That was more for comical, but...
Fucking hell.
I know.
It was funny. Like, I did laugh at it, but I was just like, oh, come on.
That scene that made me laugh when he's got the blue light and it's like... It shows you what you can't see.
Yeah.
I was thinking, now he's going to put it on his pants.
Yeah, and they'll just glow. At least after the conversation with her. Even better if it starts while he's showing her. He's like accidentally holding it there and you see his pants just get whiter.
That would have been the best shit ever.
He just goes, ooh, spooky ghost. The girl's giving me a wristy, guys!
That part in South Park, the ghost
hunt. There's ectoplasm everywhere!
Oh, we're fucked. Alright, the another thing that I really, really liked was the title text when it comes up, The Conjuring.
Yeah.
The yellow. It's such a throwback to 70s haunted house
definitely,
films.
Definitely.
I love that.
And I like the write-up before it as well, just to give you the base information of what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the good things, as I said, in this movie. It doesn't fuck around building too much backstory that you don't need to know and crap like that.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
gives you the information straight up, so you know who people are and you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. In just basic black and white. There's no questions about it.
That's right.
Which is good. Because then you don't sit there trying to figure it out and miss something that's happening on the screen.
Yeah. No, definitely.
So I thought that was really good.
Now, I watched this twice.
Yeah?
Because I really wanted to get into it and give it a fair score.
Okay, cool.
Like how we did with Predator last week.
Yep.
Maybe I was a bit biased with Predator last week, but I just can't not give it a 10.
Yeah, fair.
For this movie, no, I had to watch it twice, and I really looked through it as much as I could. I could not find a thing that I disliked about it. Like, there were nitpicks.
Yep.
There were things that, like, could have been done better. Like, nothing that was wrong with it.
Yeah.
But I just could not find a dislike. Can you?
The only thing I would say, and I don't know, same thing, it might just be me, but I found there was a little period in the middle where I found it started dragging a bit.
Yeah.
Actually.
Okay.
Like, after the Warrens had moved in with them and started doing all their research with it and all that sort of stuff, I found it a little bit dull after everything start, like, something start, like, things start happening, and then they say, they're like, all right, that's it, we've got all the evidence we need, because I understand that they're supposed to get the exorcism approved and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like, for the sake of storytelling, they sort of padded, well, I don't know. To me, it just... I don't really care about that part of the story.
Yeah.
And I feel like once it got started, they should have kept the ball rolling and kept the action, so to speak, going from there. I feel like once they cut to them going to get approval and the mum driving to a hotel and stuff like that, I don't know. That part really started losing me. It's probably only about 20 minutes, 20 to half hour,
yeah,
like, chunk there. And I feel like it just sort of dragged out. I feel like that was a little bit unnecessary. They could have condensed that and just kept it going to keep you interested.
Yeah.
No, that may be just me, but...
I agree with you in a way, because I was, there were parts where, yes, I was kind of like, all right, but it wasn't like, there was no like half an hour block. It was more like 5 minutes here and there.
Because they start, it's like they get the ball rolling, but then they spend too long doing the same sort of thing.
Yeah, no, that's, I feel, right. Yeah. Because it is a almost 2 hour movie.
Yeah.
Which is a bit long.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean. I feel like if it could have cut down by about 20 minutes, which personally I feel there probably would be 20 minutes worth you could have cut out. Possibly, to keep, yeah, it going.
Yeah, yeah.
As,
yeah,
I said, that's just my personal view on it.
No.
But, well, yeah. Yeah, I reckon just there was just a period where, yeah, you sort of get to the point you're like, all right, we get it. There's demon, like there's spirits in the house. You understand what they're doing, but they just spend more time continually going over the same point. You're like, all right, we get it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Can something new happen in the story now instead of just doing the same part?
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Yeah. So that's basically it for dislikes.
Yeah, yeah. That's it, man. As, yeah, I said, even then, like, you know, if the fact that it gets a little bit slow for a while is my only gripe with it, I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's more a nitpick. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other people might not think that at all. Other people might just think it was fucking perfectly well spaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
That's right.
Well spaced. All right. Well, that's basically all of the questions I've got. So, we want to jump into our last thoughts and rating?
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. So, your score? As I said, acting really, really good. Everyone did perfectly on that, as far as I'm concerned. I really believed every character was who they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
I thought the effects in this were done really well.
Oh, we didn't talk about
and
effects.
Used sparingly, but well, sort of same thing as the score.
Yeah.
They didn't go overboard with it, which is good with a spirit ghost kind of movie. You know, you could go overboard and make it cheesy by doing shit. They didn't.
Yeah.
You know, they kept a lot of it to a minimal use.
Yeah,
which,
yeah,
made it more effective when they did. You know, even the way they did the lighting and stuff at the start, it's all like the real, almost, not quite black and white, but those real sepia tones, just to sort of give you an idea of what's going on. I found that really got me into it to start with. And the lighting, when the spirit has gone back to their house and going after their kid,
mm-hmm,
it starts with the far shot, yeah, down the hall. And it pans in while she's up the hall, and then she comes down the stairs, and then the lights all just like go right down. It gets super dark really quickly.
Yeah.
That was sick.
It was, yeah.
That was really, really cool. So I liked that. The way they do the face sort of swap when they're doing the exorcism, mm-hmm, you know, the face ripped through the sheet, and like it's part of, yeah, the witch's face for a while, and then her face, and then the witch's face, and
yeah,
that was sick. That was really cool.
Yeah.
So I thought that was mad. So yeah, the effects, and I reckon probably my favourite one is when they're outside doing laundry. When Lorraine's,
yeah,
outside doing the laundry and she goes to take the sheet off, it blows off and then stops like it's wrapped around someone.
Yeah.
And then it continues to fly away up to the window, and then when it drops off the window, the witch is standing in the window and, yeah, then just turns around and starts to walk away. I was like, fuck, that was nuts.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. So that's what I mean. They didn't go overboard on shit like that.
No.
So when it did happen, you were just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Fuck, I was not expecting that.
And the funny thing is that this movie is an R rating, which here is an MA.
Correct.
But that's only because of the scores, like the scares.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
There's no gore, there's no
drug, that's right,
use or anything like that.
Which is wicked.
Sex.
Yeah, a bit disappointing on that, but what do you
yeah,
do?
But
but yeah, that, as we said, the cinematography was just mad. The foreground background play is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when you're, a lot of the time they draw your attention to something in the foreground and then something in the background starts happening, you don't necessarily notice straight away.
Yeah.
But when the mum and the daughter are playing hide and clap,
yeah,
and she goes into the room, the wardrobe opens itself, and you're kind of like, oh shit. But then she asks for the last clap, and you're sort of expecting a clap. But then the hands come out as well and actually clap.
Mm,
you're like, yeah, oh, shit!
Yeah.
That was nuts! So, yeah, that was cool. I liked the way they went into a lot of the actual, you know, ghost, I don't know what you'd call it, you know, technicalities or something, I guess. You know, the way they always reference, you know, drops in temperatures, the same smell, things happening at the same time every morning, like all that sort of stuff. I thought the way they actually went into the whole theory behind it all in such detail was really, really cool. It gives that, you know, again, I know it's based off a true story, but it really gives that sense of realism to it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really well done. The way they sort of kept you interested when they mentioned something about what happened to Lorraine, but they don't really tell you till later, sort of kept you hanging, and they kept you guessing with it. You're like, did she get possessed? Did, you know, when he was like, not after last time, did, you know, I was thinking, like, did he try an exorcism once before and it fucked up and it went into Lorraine or something? Yeah. Or so that was good because it kept you interested. It kept you, you know, kept you wondering what was going on.
Yeah, that's right.
What else have we got here? I liked the first time you saw the witch. That was sick.
Oh, just remind me, I can't...
When they're talking about the wardrobe, all the girls are up screaming, and he just got home, and he's going through the wardrobe, and there's nothing there, and he's just, like, he's like, what the hell's going on? And then it cuts, and she's just crouched on top of it in that creepy-as-fuck position, then just jumps straight on him.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa!
Gnarly.
Because it's the first time you actually really get to see him as well.
Yeah.
So you're sort of not expecting to actually see anything yet.
That's right.
So that was cool. That was really cool, actually. And yeah, as I said, just the format, cutting back and forth, talking, and, you know, the Warrens talking in the lecture, explaining what's going on and the rules of exorcism and this and that, and then just going back to the family, and you feel like you understand what's going on more because you saw him explain it there. The way their breath starts going frosty when they're looking for one of the spirits, that was cool. Because again, it just references back to the theory behind it. And I just thought it was all really cool, man. It all really tied in, gave you the full sense, like you got immersed in the movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was really good.
So, score out of 10?
Score out of 10. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Ooh, very nice. 9
out of 10. Definitely a solid film. Definitely had me wigging out for the first half.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm more scared of Fear of the Unknown.
Yeah.
So once I could see, once they had the spirits visually appearing more and the witch possessed the mum, I found it less scary. Still cool, but less scary because there was physical shape.
Yeah. Did you actually jump, like, out of your seat? Like... you know what I mean, like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There were a couple of times I had a little shock.
Yeah.
But mostly, even then, there was like basic stuff, like the way you were. I think there was one scene, I can't remember what they were doing to start with, and then it cuts to the static of the TV in the office next to the dad. But the way it was just quick change to that and was just heaps loud all of a sudden, I was like, "Whoa, shit!" Because they were doing something about one of the ghosts, and then it cut to that.
Yeah.
I just wasn't expecting it, so I was just like, "Whoa." Oh, fuck. So, yeah, it was good. Plus, it had a montage. They're going through setting up all the cameras and stuff in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had a montage.
It did too.
That's just awesome. Motherfucking montage. You need a montage.
You need to give a movie like another point if it has a montage.
I know. That's right. That's a bonus point. It is.
All right, my thoughts are James Wan really has an eye for detail. He makes sure he gets everything spot on. And it's not just with this movie. Insidious and Saw, everything I've seen him done. In my opinion, James Wan is a modern-day horror director, like Wes Craven and John Carpenter. He's one of the new ones. And he's done, like, Fast and Furious 7, and he's done Aquaman, and I'm kind of hoping that he doesn't stray from the path and he comes back to horror one day.
Yeah.
I know that's where the big money is, but James Wan, stay one of us. Don't leave.
Don't forget your roots.
Exactly. the reason I asked if you jumped is because I've seen this a couple of times. The last time before reviewing it, the last time I saw it was in 2016 before the second one came out, because I wanted to revisit it. Yeah. But I haven't seen it since. But this made me jump a couple of times. There's one scene in particular where the pictures fall off the wall.
Yep.
That made me jump because I forgot all about that part.
True.
And when you saw the witch for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, for a movie to be able to do that when I have seen it before.
Yeah, that's right.
It, means a lot. And I'm very jaded. I've seen fucking almost every horror movie out there. So props to you for making me jump.
Yeah, 100%.
My score, I'm coming in the exact same as you. Yeah. 9 out of 10. The reason being is because I found this movie basically flawless, but I can't... I struggled to give it a 10 out of 10 because, unlike, say, Predator last week, I can't revisit this as much as I can Predator.
Exactly, or like Jaws, we only did it last week, and I could quite happily go home and watch Predator again tonight. But yeah. I feel like now that I've seen this, I wouldn't necessarily go and watch it again.
Exactly.
I would watch it again, but not any time in the near future.
No, that's right, yeah. You know, truthfully, probably the only time, the next time I'll watch this is, depending when it's coming out, there's rumors of it coming out this year, is when The Conjuring 3 is coming out. And as long as Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are in it, I am hooked, and I want more Warrens. I love the character of the Warrens.
Yeah.
So give me more Warrens.
We want Warrens. We want Warrens.
I really enjoy just the chemistry of the two characters. It goes more. The chemistry goes more in part two, and I funny, I was watching this and I was thinking, what do I prefer better, one or two? And I think two, just a smidgen more.
I've heard that from everyone I've spoken to this movie about.
Yeah.
Everyone reckons number two is better.
They still
reckon number one's awesome, but they reckon number two's better.
I know, and maybe we'll do number two one day, but...
Mm.
So I won't give you my score at number two just yet, but yeah, no. So that's... Yeah, that's basically it. That's our review on The Conjuring. Both of us give it a 9 out of 10. If you haven't... I'm guessing everyone that's listened to this has seen it.
Yeah, you would think so.
Only stupid idiots don't see these movies.
Yeah, I'm not a stupid idiot anymore. You guys are stupid. How's it going? You need us to slow down? That's what it's like on this side. I like it.
All right, before we continue, I just got a bit of trivia because there's some funny, interesting tidbits. Now, when the movie was shown in the Philippines... Some cinema... Sorry, my phone turned off. I wasn't calling Philippines shit. My phone turned off halfway through reading that. When this movie was shown in the Philippines, some cinemas had to hire Catholic priests to bless the viewers before showing it. This was due to some viewers having reported a negative presence after watching the film. The priests also provided spiritual and psychological help to the viewers.
Well, that's pretty intense.
It is, yeah. The real Perrin family visited the set of the film.
Oh, cool.
And the real Lorraine Warren has a cameo in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's in the lecture. She's in one of the seats in the front row.
Oh, there you go.
It just passes her. But yeah, she's there. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga both traveled to Connecticut to meet with Lorraine Warren prior to filming. And everything else, the last thing is just the cameo about Lorraine Warren being in the movie. So that's it. That's all I've got to tell you, Benjamin.
Okay, cool.
So, that's our thoughts on The Conjuring. Go check it out. Hey, it's on Netflix. It's easy to check out. And I'm pretty sure it's on American Netflix as well. So I've been told.
I would imagine so. They get like everything we do plus more, so.
Yeah, well, fuck. Apparently we've only got like 35% of what America gets on Netflix, someone told me. That's bullshit.
We don't get it all down here on our little island.
No, we get fuck all. All right, well, let's kick it off into our next segment, which is called What's Under the Bed Reviews.
What's Under the Bed Reviews?
All right, Benjamin. Last week, I spoke to you about movies that were coming out in 2018.
That you did.
I mentioned a little movie called Day of the Dead.
That you did.
I got a chance to see it.
That you did.
Very good. Now, Day of the Dead Bloodline. A reimagining of George A. Romero's cult classic, Day of the Dead, is set in a post-apocalyptic zombie-filled world where a former med student is tormented by a dark figure from her past. The only thing is, he's half-human, half-zombie, and hell-bent on destroying her. This is Bulgarian, but it's all spoken in English.
Okay, cool.
Bulgarian film. So, forgive me if I butcher some of these names. It stars Sophie Skelton as Zoe, Jonathan Skaich as Max, Jeff Gum as Miguel, and Marcus Vanko as Barker. All right. I said to you last week, I was quite keen because I saw the trailer. The trailer looked pretty decent.
Yeah.
I saw the poster art, and the poster art looked really, really good because it looked like a throwback to the original film. It had that 80s feel to the poster, and I really liked that. So I was a bit interested. I was very interested about seeing this movie. When I had it on, like, a press play, I was actually really excited.
Yeah, that's so what you want.
Yeah, that's right. So the likes of this movie, the look of the zombies.
Yeah.
They did all right. Not the best looking zombies I've seen, but it wasn't a fucking $2 job. You know, they did pretty decent. This movie is filled to the brim with some gore, which is all done practical.
Oh, yes. That makes it so much better.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're squirmish, maybe not watch this. There's a lot of biting, as you can imagine. And as I said before, the poster art is really good. That's basically all I've got to say about my likes.
Really?
Now let's go into the dislikes.
Oh, this sounds disappointing.
The acting was god awful. Oh, holy fucking shit. This acting was so bad, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, like, you can notice it. Especially the first scene, because it has, like, the first starting is, like, it cuts to the future.
Yeah.
Like, a quarter of the way into the movie. So the first half is when she's in med school, and the students in it, they're just unlikable characters, and their acting is just really bad.
Shit.
It's just dumb things like, yeah, we're going to a party now. Yeah, woo! Shit like that. It's cringeworthy.
Oh, no.
The writing, which is, once again, probably on par with the acting. It's horrible. Plot holes throughout. On top of that, nothing is continued.
Really?
Yeah, so some of the zombies are typical zombies. Are they running zombies? Which is another like.
They are running zombies?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, awesome.
They're not threatening, though. Like, how you have it in Dawn of the Dead. They don't really... You know... sorry, you haven't seen it.
No. Fuck. So, probably not.
In the Dawn of the Dead remake, they're threatening. Like, they're scary. In this one, you see them running, but you're like... Eh. And they do... Which, some of them do, like, a cool... Kind of like a... Like a grudge... ring type movement. How they...
Oh, the real jerky, rigid kind of...
kind of like that, but more in like a monkey kind of way.
Oh.
It's hard to explain, but they do that. So their running's a bit all over the place, which works, but at the same time, it's kind of laughable.
Yeah, okay.
In a way. Now, the writing in this movie... I can't really say too much because I don't want to give it too much away. If you've seen the original movie, there's a zombie in it called Bud. It was a likable zombie.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, there is a resemblance of Bud.
Yep.
But this one is not likable in the slightest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, you do not root for this zombie. If you can even call it a zombie. I don't want to give too much away. But they've kind of spat on the original in my views.
Oh, that sucks.
They really turned it and just... to be quite honest, George A. Romero would probably be rolling in his grave with this remake.
That sucks.
The score is unforgettable. And just overall, this was a disappointment. It really, really was. I'm trying to be nice here, but I was upset. And Joyce was watching it with me too. She hasn't seen the original, but she was a bit upset as well, and she could tell that I was really upset. On top of that, I'm coming with a 5 out of 10. The only reason, because I'm a really big fan of zombie films. So this may be one that I'll watch again, just because of the zombie action. It will be like if I'm writing something or I'm on my phone.
A background movie.
Exactly. So I'm coming with a 5 out of 10. It's an average at best. Should you watch it? If you're like me and you really enjoy your zombie films, that's the only reason I'd say so. Stick to the original. Is it better than the 2009 remake? I'd have to rewatch the 2009 remake, to be perfectly honest with you. but yeah, this was a bit of a letdown. go check it out. If you do check it out, let me know what you think, because I'm really, really interested as to what your thoughts are. All right, so that's Day of the Dead from 2018, my first 2018 film, which is the sad thing is this is my favourite film of 2018, Benjamin.
Really?
It's the only movie I've seen this year.
That's true, that's true.
All right,
2018, so, not off to a good start.
No, not really. All right, so let's kick it off to the next segment, which is The Voice of the People. Alright, we're back. So, this week, I was going to come in with something different, but I really wanted to show Ben a vampire film. So, of course, one of my favourites, The Lost Boys, I had to put it up.
Which I believe someone described as fucking pretty much Twilight.
How dare they? How motherfucking dare they?
Who was it that said that? I can't remember.
I think that was Ryan.
I was going to say, was it Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, motherfucker. There is. I know a lot of people that do not like Lost Boys, and I do not know why. But
probably
this was
it's like Twilight, apparently.
How dare you? Nothing like Twilight.
It's got vampires.
Oh, so Dracula's like Twilight?
Yeah.
Fuck off. All right, so I had The Lost Boys from 1987 versus Nosferatu from 1922. Now, when you first saw these two options,
yep.
What raced through your mind?
What raced through my mind?
Yeah. Did you ever?
Every time I hear about The Lost Boys, I think of you, because I know it's one of your favourite movies.
Yeah.
And every time I hear Nosferatu, I think of SpongeBob SquarePants. Nosferatu.
I think most people know Nosferatu because of that.
That's so good.
Did you care who won?
No, I didn't actually, because I want to see The Lost Boys, because I want to see
what
you rave about when you, because you obviously love it so much.
Yep.
And I want to see Nosferatu because it's a classic. It's one of the originals. Same way I was excited to do Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like if I'm learning about it, it's good to learn about the roots as well, where it come from.
Yeah. Yeah. Nosferatu is actually a silent film.
I do know that.
You'd be all right with that?
I would be all right with that.
Well, I thought this would be a blowout. Truthfully, I thought the Lost Boys would take this home, but there were a few people that really wanted Nosferatu to win. Alan, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he said something, same sort of thing as what I just said, eh?
Yeah, he wants you to watch a classic film.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Everyone might have to do that soon.
Yeah.
But the winner.
I'm down.
And I'm so glad to say this. The winner, with 69% and 51 votes, or sorry, 59 votes overall, but a winning percentage of 69%, The Lost Boys.
Hey.
Yeah, and I'm really happy with this one, because the reason I wanted to do a vampire movie is because I wanted to watch this again.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
The Lost Boys. I'm going to be Team Edward.
Benjamin. Alright, let's go to what's pumping on your iPod. Alright, Benjamin, what's pumping on our iPod this week? It is not Megadeth, so fuck you, Megadeth.
Don't worry, Paley, it'll be Megadeth.
It won't be. No, it'll never be Megadeth played on this podcast.
It fucking will be. Are you going to tell a fan that they can't get what they want played on this show?
Yeah.
Guys, Tim is lying to you alright? I want you to write in and tell us how bad of a person Tim is.
I've played Korean pop music on this show.
Yeah?
I'll play that every single episode, then play Megadeth once. Actually, I kind of like the K-pop.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was nothing wrong with K-pop. That's not really a bad, like...
I cannot stand Megadeth, man. I really can't.
Megadeth.
Yeah, fuck you.
Megadeth.
Shut up. Alright, instead of gay ass Megadeth, we're gonna play shut up. we're gonna play a song for you all from a friend of ours. He's not a new artist, but it's his new project.
Is his name Dave Mustaine?
No. Thank Christ, because it wouldn't be played on here. Now, our good friend Matthew Coleman, his new project, which is called Suburban. I was talking to him the other day, and he told me to go check it out, and it's pretty decent, so I thought I'd play it for y'all. Basically what it is, it's a hardcore hip-hop hybrid project, which is influenced anywhere from Beastie Boys to early Bring Me the Horizon to The Prodigy to Ocean Grove to Limp Bizkit to Nas to Naughty by Nature, Bumfunk MC to Let Live, fucking around that.
To fucking all around sick cunt.
Yeah, yeah. This song is called It's Not What You Know, It's What You Can Prove. And he's already told me it's a quote from the movie Training Day.
Yeah, nice.
Which I haven't seen, so I didn't get the reference. But anyway. But it's for fans who like that type of music. Fans of Beastie Boys, Limp Bizkit, Rage Against the Machine, type like that. Now, it's a new song, but later in the year, he'll be dropping a mixtape, which will be called Kick Scream. And it's in the style of an actual mixtape. Side A will be heavy and side B will be pure hip-hop, which is fucking cool. I like that.
That is wicked, actually. I dig that.
I actually really enjoy, like rock rap.
Yeah.
Like early Slipknot when they used to do it, or Rage Against the Machine, type of like that.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I don't think there's many people that don't.
No. Yeah, truthfully. And a lot of people say, oh, it's the 90s. But that's the only thing I like from the 90s.
Well, fuck you too. Fuck you too.
Your face just dropped. I didn't actually think that. Ben just turned his chair around.
I'm still talking to you guys. You're going to play so much Megadeth.
Fuck off. You're not.
I am.
You don't edit this shit, so you can't.
You take a mortal man and use him to piss off Tim.
All right, our second song. Now, I'm going to change. I'm going to change up how we do songs, Benjamin.
Well, it's not really us that does them, isn't it? Like, we just play them.
Yeah, I'm going to change how we play them.
Oh, okay, cool.
So basically, when we started this podcast, basically all it was going to be was any song. Doesn't matter what you wanted to play. Just play anything that's going through you right now. But since we're doing two songs, I thought it'd be cool if we start actually playing a song that represents the movie that we review.
I thought Paley was doing that already.
Yeah, but Paley wants Megadeth.
That's why we have to play Megadeth.
No, we don't. No, because I found a better song. A much better song. No, it's fuck off with Megadeth. We're not playing Megadeth.
Okay.
I'll give you a handy in a second. This is a movie. Oh, fucking hell. This is a song from. Stop it! This is a song that's actually in the movie The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And the band is called Zombies.
Yeah.
The song is called Time of the Season.
There we go. I had a feeling it was going to be that.
Yeah. And this is like the most 70s song ever.
It really is, eh? Even though it was fucking 70s all over.
Yeah. Even though it came out in 68. But shut up.
Yeah.
It was the 70s to me. And like, I was thinking about it, and I played this song, I'm like, I don't really like playing songs on the show that I don't like, but I haven't stopped playing this song all day. I actually really, really enjoy it now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Just the ba-da-boom,
cha-ah. Yeah, no, I like that. That's the best thing, just
ah. Yeah, I've been doing that all day, man. People at work have been giving me weird looks. So there's our two songs that we're playing for y'all, which is Suburban, and our good friends, which is Suburban with It's Not What You Know, It's What You Can Prove. Check them out. Go support them on Spotify. Just type in Suburban, or they've got a clip on YouTube. I'll post that to the Facebook link. And our next song is Time of the Season by Zombies.
Sick.
Sick. It is sick. Benjamin, do you have anything to add before we wrap this one up? It's a bit of a...
No, actually, Benjamin does not have anything else to add before we wrap this one up.
Oh, okay. Bit of a short episode this week. I'm sorry, people.
Get it up, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes, a bit of a short episode this week because, well, Predator, we had a lot to talk about. The Conjuring, we didn't really have much to argue about. We both agreed it was a great movie.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, it's pretty straightforward.
So, sorry for a shorter episode this week, but hey.
That's all right. If you want more, just listen to the episode twice.
Yeah.
Then it'll be twice as long.
Yeah, like my dick. No?
Twice as long as what?
All right, well, do all the cool things, rate and review this podcast. Check us out on the Padded Room Network. You know, if you are listening to that, you probably already know about them. We'll be back next week with Lost Boys. Send us your voicemail. Not voicemail. Your email to horrorfordummies@hotmail.com or the Facebook page. We really like to hear from y'all. Give us some music options if you like.
Yeah, dudes, write in with some songs.
Talk about anything you want.
We write don't in mind. With anything.
Yeah, tell Thank Ben you. How dumb he is. Tell I mean, Ben yeah, how he's not going to win the Royal Rumble.
Tell Tim I'm not that dumb.
It's okay. Don't lie. Don't lie. We don't condone liars.
All right, fair enough. Sorry, right. guys.
All right, Benjamin. Well, that's it for this week. We'll catch you next week.
Yep, next week it is.
Yeah, with Lost Boys from
1987. Yeah, Twilight. Woo!
Fuck off.
Slowly tell you. What's your name?
What's your name?
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Here is he rich like me? Has he taken
any time
to show?